Japan.
Good morning. God is here. Thank you very much to the worship team. That was very sweet time with you. Very good. Well done. The words that we sang to the Lord, you keep giving yourself. Jesus, just that impacts me so much. It's so much that God is doing, showing his glory, working, and I'm so thankful that he's here today. Very excited about the word that we will be sharing with you. We brought a message to preach this morning, but also we wanted to share about our ministry, and I'll let you speak first.
Good morning. I feel God's presence is very strong, so that's why I'm kind of talking to Tony up here. Thank you all for just inviting God's presence and just asking him to fill this place. God is, you know, he's a lot more patient than we are. And he's a lot... this morning, I just really was praying for y'all, and God showed me some things, and I'm just kind of trying to ask him when I need to share them. But I just want y'all to know that with us, with Harvey coming, Alan honored us, and we appreciate that, but we feel very honored that your church chose to send Harvey to us. And to send his ministry down there. And we know that God has worked mightily through Harvey. And he has taught us a lot through Harvey and through every single person that has come. I've learned a lot through many of you that have come. And God has grown our faith and just done mighty things through the people of this church. And so we're very, very thankful. I'm going to let Tony talk.
Okay. Yeah, we just wanted to share with you about our ministry. And before I forget, they mentioned the table out back, but we want to relate. We're here to relate with y'all. You've blessed our ministry as a church, so the teams have come down, and many of y'all have really been praying. I was impacted by that early on in the game that Harvey really felt he knew he had prayer support while he was down there. But here we are, managing to show up in Arkansas here. It's not Arkansas. We were talking with our sons, you know. We're here in Arkansas with y'all, and we want to relate. So afterwards, we'll be out at the table there. She already mentioned these are refrigerator beauty enhancers to help you remember to pray for us. But we'll share some about our ministry this morning, just to kind of let you know. And then after a while, we'll be showing a video here that shows the ministry. But we live in Jacaltenango, the northwest corner of Guatemala. We were working with a Bible Institute ministry before that, and we would go out different places and teach leaders, but we never really built relationship. And God really put on our hearts to adopt a people group and build relationship with them and be able to see their ministries be strengthened. And so we're there. We're not alone. There are established churches there that we work with. We work with the pastors. We love to just invest in the pastors. We go and visit them and see how they're doing and pray for them. We bring pastors together and have like luncheons or activities where they can build relationship amongst each other and promote unity, you know, instead of disunity. We're promoting unity among the pastors so that the body of Christ is strengthened as a whole. We've even seen some United Church services, churches coming together for worship services at different points in time. But that's our goal, is to just to strengthen the church in that area, whether it's providing an outreach opportunity like happens when your teams come and we'll be able to go to a public place, a town hall, and invite the community in for healing. If it's that, it's an outreach opportunity so that the church can reach more people, or if it's a way to invest in the local church and in their leadership so that they are strengthened from within, so that they are ready themselves to reach out into their communities. So that's the heart vibe of our ministry, is a strengthened church and a strengthened leadership for our area.
Over the years, Tony and I, to be honest, we ended up in Guatemala, and we were in Guatemala, and God led us step by step. And when we first moved out to Jacaltenango, we really felt we were going to be doing different things than we are now. And so when we went out to Jacaltenango, I had small children. I had two small children. Bragan was 4 years old, and Trennan was two, and Davin was not existing at that moment. And we were out in a community where it was 1% Christian, and I felt very lonely. And so over the years, little by little, I told Tony, I said, I'm not going to survive if I don't have friends. And so Tony and I started visiting pastors in their homes, and God actually brought pastors into our area at the same, like within a year of our arrival, more new pastors came into our area. And it was like God brought them from other areas of Guatemala to serve beside us. And so we ended up making friends with those pastors. We've visited them in their homes. Little by little, God has put in our hearts to have pastoral meetings. And so we bring pastors together, and we love on the pastors. We worship together. We pray over them. We encourage each other. I have small luncheons for the pastors' wives, where it's one-on-one, and several of them have told us, Carrie and Tony, we wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for you. And to be honest, we wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for them. And so God has helped us to form alliances or friendships where we've helped each other to stay strong and for all of us to work in our region.
We come to identify, though, a group of villages in our area that we call the Six Villages area, and there just wasn't much in the way of leadership to strengthen. You know, there was just a few families here and there, just little groups. And so I mentioned that last night with some of the you that we met with that had been on trips in the past. But we came to see in one of those villages, there was a group. Their pastor had left several years ago to go to the U.S. and work, and these families just weren't hardly doing much. I mean, every once in a while they would meet, you know, there wasn't hardly anything happening. So I said, hey, guys, we got to get something going. So I had been given a little discipleship book, very simple, about the basic scriptures about what Christian life is like, relationship with God and all. And so I said, hey, let's study this together. For 15 months, we would study together. Unless I had a mission team coming or something, then about every Saturday, we would meet with them. And these few families that were there, they just really started soaking it up. We'd see them contemplating, struggling with a few things, you know. Towards the end, we had a celebration. You've heard the word fiesta in Spanish, you know, because it's fiesta culture. You got to celebrate everything. And so we had a little celebration time, printed out some diplomas to give to them and all. They had a special worship service. And we saw that some of their family members who had just been like lost sheep started coming back in and being a part of their church and really wanting to see what God would do in their lives. They were seeing how to organize their church and their activities, how to keep their services going. And they told us you know, we just really feel like we understand now how we should live. And so we're really thankful for that. It wasn't ministry to the multitude. It was ministry to a few families. But their village is actually nicknamed the Village of Witches. And there's a lot of spiritual battle there against them. Very hard place. And for them to say, we're going to go forward and serve God here in our village and reach our village, just really means a lot to us.
We've had various teams that come to see us, and so Harvey is one of those teams. Your church sends him, and I just want to share a few things that teams have helped us to do. Tony and I, we serve the community with our family, and so teams help us to be able to reach the multitudes, reach more people quickly. And so, for example, with Harvey and them's team, I know that y'all have heard the miracles, heard of God's goodness. And I'd like to just share one of those testimonies. This last year when y'all's team came, a young girl came up to us, and her mom, in Guatemala, they're very open about teenagers being rebellious. And so the mom just walked up and said, my teenager's rebellious, pray for her. And I was like, okay, you know, which I've already heard that before. But her mom brought her up, and Christina, I believe y'all have met Christina, she just grabbed the young girl and gently hugged her. And we started talking to her, saying, how are you doing? We spoke to her heart need, and we started tenderly talking to her, and she broke into tears. And then the mom looked at the young girl, and she said, I'm sorry. And the mom repented to her daughter in front of us and just hugged her daughter. And I could feel a lot of spiritual things going on around her, and the Lord just caused darkness to flee, and the light of God came into that young girl. And we've seen through the team and also in our personal ministry, we've seen those things happen. You're going to also see on the screen in our video, you're going to see a little lady that starts going up and down. And she came up to the altar, and she told us, my stomach hurts. So David, my young son, was interpreting. And while he was interpreting, he prayed for her with them, and the lady's stomach was healed. Well, then the lady walked away, and they saw she's like going like this, walking away. And so Davin and Garth called the lady up and said, don't you want us to pray for your knee too? And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And so they prayed for her knee. And after they prayed, she started going up and down like this. And she could not, her joy that God had touched her stomach and God had healed her leg. Another team that comes that we have is a preaching and teaching team. And I have a testimony this year. This year we had a team, we did preachings and teachings with pastors, with youth, with women. We had a bunch of different events that we did over a week. And we had around 350 youth at one rally. We had another 100 youth at another rally. And after those rallies, we went back and asked one pastor, we said, what do you think of these rallies? How can we do them better? And they said, they told us what they thought, but then they looked at us and they said, due to this rally, we feel God is telling us that we need to start doing what y'all are doing. And so they planned a youth rally for June, and they had their own youth rally. And for y'all, maybe you have youth get-togethers, but where we live, most of the time there is nothing for youth. And so for us, that was a big breakthrough. because the local church said, we see what you're doing and we realize, they told us, we realize that you're doing our job and you've been doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so that is a real breakthrough that we feel has come through Teams.
You'll also see in the video a few pictures from the Christian bookstore. For years, Carrie had that vision. We live in the largest county seat for our general region, and we realized that nowhere in that region is there a Bible store. And so we partnered with a local pastor and his wife, and they help with that. It's there in our main town, but mainly they go out to a lot of special events, conferences, anniversary of a church or celebration or whatever. They go out and they offer that. We've seen a lot of Bibles get out, a lot of other Christian materials as well. So you'll see some pictures of that. And I wanted to share briefly with you about Glory Ranch. We now live in a place called Glory Ranch. And it's out kind of off on the edge of town and up high. We got a great view of the town down below us. But there's a church in Texas that gave us an offering years ago for us to have our own place to live in Guatemala and to not be renting. But we felt like God said, hey, there's a bigger vision. And so we wanted to have a larger piece of land where we could have that Christian activities and all. So now we have Glory Ranch, which has its first building. We're living on the first floor. Then on the second floor, there's a meeting hall that we're preparing. It'll have a little kitchenette there and a guest bedroom and bathroom for them to be able to have activities out there. In the future, we're looking forward to having cabins and it being a prayer retreat center and churches be able to come. We really want to see, I shared this with some of you last night, but we really want to see the pastors and ministers in our area that are constantly investing in their people and giving and giving and giving, that they'll have a place to just get away with God and cry out to God like Moses did in the Bible. He cried out to God. He said, show me your glory. And we want to have a place for them to really refresh, reconnect, and be stronger to go and minister to their churches. So I think we'll go ahead and show the video. So thank you there in audio visual.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This morning when I was praying for you, God reminded me of the verse that's in Psalms 84:10, and it talks about how we would prefer to be a doorkeeper at the temple, at the gates of at the temple, at the house of the Lord, instead of being away from God's presence. But this morning I felt God telling me that some of us have been satisfied with being the doorkeeper. And we know that in the New Testament that the Lord gave us access to go directly into his presence. And I look back, I thought back about the Old Testament and how the Old Testament, they saw the glory of the Lord fall over the temple. They saw the cloud. They saw his presence fall. But yet, they stayed at a distance. And they were in awe, and they saw God's glory, and they were in awe. But very few actually entered in. And I felt God's presence here this morning. I know y'all have entered in. But I don't know. I just feel like, and I want to say this in the right way, but I feel that some of you are still like just at the door, like taking care of the door of the temple. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord is saying, why are you not coming in? And I saw another vision this morning while we were worshiping, and it actually, I saw Harvey. I saw Harvey going up these, and Harvey will understand it maybe a little more, but I saw these steps going up a mountain in Guatemala, and some of you that have been there would understand, and maybe some of you that live here don't, but sometimes in Guatemala, there's like steps and steps and steps and steps and steps and steps to go up a mountain. And a few times when Harvey's been there, he's like, when are we going to get to the top? And I do too. And I'm like, when are we going to get to the top? And it feels like the top isn't coming. But in this vision, I saw Harvey going up, up, up. And he looked at me and he said, Carrie, when are we going to get to the top? And I said, we got to keep going, Harvey. And I don't know why I saw that, but I feel like some of you are like midway up the mountain and you think you're already at the top, or maybe you think you're getting close, but God, I felt like God was saying, go up higher, keep going, keep going, keep going. And that's what I felt in my spirit, just that you've got to keep going, because there's something there's a breakthrough that's about to come. It's about to come, but we've got to press in, and we've got to not be gatekeepers, and we can't be just climb half the mountain. And so that's what I felt in my spirit today. And Tony and I have been speaking. We actually had a team that came in February, and they taught on dining with God, and that some of us have gotten into a culture where we run by God's table, and we just grab food real quick. We grab something, like just something real quick off of his table, and then we keep running. And I just felt like this morning that God is asking, how hungry are you? Are you really willing to sit at his presence? Are you willing to just say, I want a fast food taco in the spiritual realm, or are you gonna sit and really feast on the steak, the potatoes, like a very rich meal that he's prepared for you? And so that's what I felt in my spirit for y'all. And I just want to challenge y'all to come deeper into God's presence. I know God's presence is here. I felt him. But I feel God's calling y'all to even a deeper intimacy with him. So that's what I feel for you.
Let's pray right into that. Would y'all stand up with me this morning? As my wife's been speaking, I believe the Lord's been touching your hearts. Lord, we just thank you this morning for giving us vision of all that you have prepared for us. Those of us who are parents, Lord, if our kids were just to come and grab a little bit of something off the table and run out, we'd say, hey, you need a real meal. You need, Lord, thank you for moving in us and opening our eyes to how life really is and helping us to see that we need to come in and we need to abide. We need to receive all that you have for us. Lord, if we're wise, that's what we're going to say, God. I don't just need enough to get by or enough to solve some problem or enough to get peace in a place that I'm worried, but need to beyond that, Lord, I want all that you have for me. I'm so thankful to be at the gate and to know the great things are happening inside, but Lord, I'm ready to go in. I'm ready for you to fill my cup. You just keep giving yourself. And you haven't been scared of any of our any of our sins or any of our imperfections. You haven't flinched in your purpose. Lord, you're there, and you love us, and you want us to lift us up. Lord God, you want us to be encouraged and strong. The world around us will tell us so many things we need to be doing, but God, we need you. We need you. God, we want to go. We want to go with you and be able to say to the world, this is the place to be, the presence of my God. Lord, I just thank you for this church and this family, Christian family. We saw how they came in this morning, and they just loved greeting each other and hugging on each other and enjoy being together. And we thank you for this family environment that is here. And Lord, we just thank you that if the brothers and sisters are all together and they're thinking that's all it is, but then dad and mom walk in, wow. And Lord, we thank you, you've walked in. You're in this place. Lord, you're with us. It is so good. So good to be gathered around you, spend this time with you, grow in you. Lord, we need you. We're your children. And we just do say, Lord, we need you. More of you. More of you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Just fill us. Fill us. Work in us this day, Lord God. Even as your word says, we're temples of your Holy Spirit. We're where you want to dwell. You do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your work. Thank you for being faithful to us. Lord, even as the song said when we thought that I had lost myself, but you knew right where I was, and you knew how to put the pieces together. You found me there. You met me in my brokenness. Lord, if there's anybody here, just say, you know, in my life, just things are not in place the way they need to be. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us, each one where we're at, and having your way in us this morning, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, you're good. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord this morning. Man. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So I just want to go right in to 1 Corinthians 6:19 this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the same verse that I just mentioned. I don't know if those that preach here are nice and give you time to get to that in your Bibles or not, but I'm not all that nice, so get there if you can. The verse says, do you not know that your bodies are... 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? This word temple, I'm not sure if that's the right... Is it the right? But... Anyways, this verse is saying that we, each one of us, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about you as a church, you are a temple for the Holy Spirit. It's saying your bodies, plural, are temples, plural, of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's very important to see that because the Lord is wanting to be in us, even as just we were praying. Being here in the U.S., it's been such a sweet blessing to come into the homes of people that have received us. We're very blessed to be with Pastor Harvey and his family in this time. And where we've gone, we have just been blessed. We'll come into the home and people say, and here's this bedroom where you can stay, and here's this bathroom, and here's the kitchen and the food, and we've planned this meal for you, and et cetera. And just that hospitality is really a sweet thing. Just people saying with hospitality, I care about you. Even somebody sent a meal or sent a dessert to Harvey's house for us. If I can brag on y'all just that sweet to bless us while we're here. But as I've been thinking about this verse, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, it just hits me so strong that we have the opportunity to have hospitality for the presence of God, that His Holy Spirit dwell in us. And so as I reflect on different things that have been said to us as we've entered people's homes, I've thought, well, what do I say when I receive the Holy Spirit? What do I tell Him about the hospitality that I've prepared for Him? And so just praying into that, I thought, what does the Holy Spirit want to hear? What is the Holy Spirit looking for when he comes to dwell in me? Holy Spirit, I have this place prepared for you to be. I've even done some cleaning. I prepared it. I've gotten some things out that might not have been so pleasing to you. Holy Spirit, I have this time set aside to spend with you. I have ear to hear what you want to say to me. If you want to show me anything, Lord, I want to have eyes to see what you want to show me. Is everything all right? Is there anything else you need? Holy Spirit, I love you. And I want you to be pleased with that love. I want you to be able to appreciate my love. Hospitality. Because it's not just about being a part of a temple, being a part of a church. I don't know if someone asked you, how is your relationship with God, or how is your Christian experience, or however they might word it, what would your response be? I know there's a lot of people that would say, oh, I'm Catholic, or I'm Methodist, or I'm, you know. Or they might say, I go to that church over there. My parents were believers, and they taught me to respect and I believe there's a God. So a lot of different answers people could give, but what would be the response that would just be really pleasing to God? I really love my time with God. I'm really thankful for the work He has done in me. All that attitude that I had, God has changed me. What would you say? He's the lover of my soul. So I want to encourage you in that today, to have hospitality for the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So I looked up this word quench, and the definition I found was to extinguish or rapidly cool. And so that brings us with this word, this scripture, do not quench the Spirit. It brings us to the question, is there anything in my life that would quench the flames or the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Is there anything, as so important the scripture says, examine my heart, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Any wicked way in me. Because we don't want to say, hey, come in here. I mean, how you open your home to somebody and you say, okay, here's this room you can stay in, and they go in there and the bed sheets are all dirty. You know, I mean, we wouldn't want to do that. And we want to receive the Lord. And it's not just, okay, so there's God in heaven, I can call to him, he'll help me. No, he wants to come and be in you and have that relationship with you. So is there anything in you that would not be pleasing to him? We have a very dramatic scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 of something that was not pleasing to the Lord. And Paul was having to write to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth, about that problem, that sin problem that they had. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Paul says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Okay, first of all, we wouldn't want to think that there would be sexual immorality among you. But then he goes on, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. Verse 2, and you are proud? Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? Oh, so Paul has got something to address with the church in Corinth, right? He's having to address this blatant, terrible, hideous sin that even the pagans would not permit. And it's happening in the church, and the church has not responded. They haven't said, hey, that doesn't work here in our community. You can't be a part of this church if you're doing that, or you need to repent. It's happening. But Paul, in spite of how blatant this sin is, how glaring this sin is, he goes on to see a deeper heart issue that's going on. He says to the Corinthians, he says, you are proud? They're so confident in who they are, what they're doing, that they think they're okay in spite of this sin that's being permitted among them. Let's go down to verse 6. Paul continues with this theme. He says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? So here they have this pride, and they say, hey, this pride is affecting the whole deal. This whole loaf, this whole church, this whole congregation, it affects the whole deal. Verse 7, he says, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. He's saying you've got to get rid of this pride that's in you that's affecting the whole deal. This, he's using the illustration of the Passover when the Israelites came out of Egypt, and on their way out, they ate bread without leaven, without yeast. And then so when they celebrated that every year and when they remembered what God had done and brought them out of slavery, then they celebrated with unleavened bread. He's using that as an illustration here. And it strikes me so hard what he says in verse 7. He says, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch. He wants them to be a church without pride. And he says, so that you can be as you really are. You know, if you're a parent here, you have to realize that you are creating the identity that your children will live with. And I've seen so many parents that don't realize that, and their kid goofs up and does something wrong, and they're like, that's because my kid is just a lousy kid, or he's a mess, and that's just, he does that stuff because he's a problem child or whatever. And just go on defining their child based on what they're doing in the moment. I found it so much better to look at the kid and say, hey, I like to get down on my knees when I talk to the kids and look them in the eyes. Hey, you don't do that because you're a good kid. Okay? That's a bad thing, but you're a good kid. We don't do that. We have to define our children as we discipline them. And this is what we see with Father God here in this verse. There's pride in this church. They've got a sin problem. They've got a pride problem. And it's resulting in more problems. And they're thinking they're okay. But he's saying, hey, you need to get back to who you really are. If you consider how hideous this sin is that's going on in the church, many people would have looked at the church in Corinth and said, well, I guess lost that church. They're not for real. How am I? Hopefully other churches and the other villages where Paul established churches, hopefully they'll be all right. But this church in Corinth. But God kept sight of who he created them to be, who he saved them to be, who he established them to be. He's a good father. And how can we see confidence that in spite of all this sin, they really can be who they're supposed to be? He continues in verse 7 and he says, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. What power is there to get past this mess that's from their prideful hearts out to their hideous sinful acts? What power is there to say there will still be holy life in this church, that there is hope for this church? The Passover lamb, the blood is strong enough. Sometimes it's not looking at a church or another Christian and seeing their great sin problems and hoping that we can believe that they're going to be okay. Sometimes it's us and how we're looking at ourselves and how we're measuring ourselves on this spiritual scale or whatever, and whether we can really enter in and receive all that God has for us and be all that God wants us to be. And we've got ourselves measured based on what's happened in our lives and the mistakes that we've made. But God sees his definition for his children. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The sacrifice is enough. Verse 8 goes on, therefore let us keep the festival. Let us keep celebrating our Passover lamb. Let's keep celebrating that there is forgiveness, that there is salvation, that there is life in Christ. Let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness. You've been coming to your church, you've had your sin, you've had your pride, and you sat there and sang your hallelujahs. But not like that. We've got to keep the festival now based on the forgiveness that the Lord has for us and that we're leaving that sin behind. Not with the bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. They need to switch from a life of wickedness and pride and come into a pure life. And how do you get to having a pure life with God? Obviously, it's the work of God in our lives, but it results in sincerity and truth. You will not have a pure life before God if you're just sincere, but you're not following the truth. You will not have a pure life with God if you have the Bible memorized and you have all the truth, but you don't have the sincerity, loving your God. Sincerity and truth. Their sin problem was not being dealt with because their pride was in the way of them being sincere and true. They were not humble enough to leave that behind and to walk in God's truth. Purity. God wants us to be pure. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Maybe some of your people aren't here today. It's summertime. There's vacations. People want to go and see something somewhere. We were talking about how I want to go see the giant redwoods in California someday. People want to go see the pyramids. They want to go see the Statue of Liberty. They want to go and see something. And this verse gives us the biggest promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to go see that, those pyramids in Egypt? Well, blessed are those that got the big wallet, because they may buy the plane ticket. They may get on that plane, hire an interpreter once they get there, a tour guide, and go see those things. God says, blessed are the pure in heart. You're not going to buy that. He paid for it. He paid for it. It's like, you know, he's like the dad that says, oh, you want to come see me, kid? I'll pay for that trip. Come see me. Blessed are the pure in heart. Thank you, Lord. So you don't have to cross an ocean, a mountain, or even mess with people that speak a foreign language. You just need to let God do his work, receive his forgiveness. Do you have a pure heart? What comes to mind when I ask that? What do you not want to think about when I ask that? What are you going to do about it? If there's something that the Lord would tell you, this is not where you're ready to receive from me. This is where you're not ready for me to come in and dwell in you. Need to hear that. We need to be humble. We don't need to say, God, well, you know, I'm better than I was last year. That's good. That's good. We need to be thankful for that. We need to let the Lord keep doing his work, sanctifying work. Help him keep molding you and working in you and making you who he really has designed you to be. Someone with a pure heart that's ready to meet with him. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we just say, oh yeah, but Holy Spirit, but that's, you know, that's just that little thing, but it's okay, you know, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, oh, he is faithful. He sticks with that plan for you to have a pure heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gives a pure heart. He washes with his blood. He forgives the sin. And then he comes in. God will not set us up to fail. If we have talked about anything this morning about your relationship with God and going further with God, about living with a pure heart and receiving his Spirit in your life, and you've just felt like, well, I just not. God has not set you up to fail. It's not like it's only for some, but not for others. He's faithful. He'll stay with that plan. And he'll help you to come to the point of having a pure heart and receiving all that he has for you. And you will host the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled. And you'll have all that comes with the Holy Spirit. The fruit, the gifts, the workings. You will experience the goodness of God. Would you stand with me this morning? I think I've already went over time a little bit. Thank you for your patience. Good thing we mentioned patience early in our talking, right? Yeah. Okay, so God is here. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for these, your children that love you and want to be with you. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that would say, you know, I'm just learning, you know, I'm just really finding out how it is to walk with God. And I want to make that decision today and say, I believe Jesus forgives me of my sin. Thank you, God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, all that would separate us from you. You forgive us of that. You cleanse us. Lord, if there's someone here today just feels like they're being held back. And I know we're going to have a time when everybody can come forward and be prayed for here at the end of the service. But if there's somebody who says, I'm just, something is holding me back and I need that breakthrough. I just need to go forward and realize what God has for my life. Lord, I just thank you for that victory. I just declare it in faith this day. We will believe. We will have confidence in you because you're good. You're good, loving Father. And you want us to receive from you. You want us to come into your house. And as a good Father, you want to give to us, your children. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's someone today that struggles with a sin, and there's something that didn't want to think about as we talked about having a pure heart. And maybe sometimes, Lord, we don't feel that we can put that behind us, that we can go on. Lord, I just thank you for the grace. Thank you for helping us to realize, yes, we can. We can. We can leave it behind. You are giving us a new life. You have forgiven us. No matter how many times we've fallen into the, you are forgiving us. And we put our confidence in you. You are faithful to work in us. Thank you, God. And Lord, there's so many here that want to say, I want to do better about having hospitality for the Holy Spirit. I want to be so much with the Lord throughout the week. I just come in here to just let it overflow in the Lord's presence every Sunday. I don't want to keep coming into church and being like dry and saying, Lord, fill me up. I want you to just breathe on me and be with me and help me to enjoy your presence through the week. Every day, Lord. I want to really love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, with all that I am. You keep giving yourself, Lord. I want to keep giving myself. I want to keep loving you. With hands lifted high, Lord, just fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Though it's not just a moment here, but it's throughout this week. But fill us now, Lord. Lord, we receive you and your love. Fill us, Lord, with you. You are here. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Some of you just need to hear the Lord saying, "You're my child, and I love you. I delight in you. I'm happy to be with you. I made a good decision when my son died on the cross for you. He died for the joy set before him, and his joy is in you being in the kingdom, in the Lord's presence." Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I just pray a blessing over this church. Lord, bless this church and its leadership. Bless us as a house of worship for praise to you, Most High God. Strengthen this church and bless them. Help them to prosper in all that they do, O Lord God, to glorify you in all that they do. Bless these youth as they have their encounter with you this next weekend. Move powerfully in them, we pray. Glorify your name and take your church from glory to glory, leading us always in triumphal procession with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I would like to maybe just ask some people, if you feel that you need prayer, that God breaks some chains off your life, then I would like for y'all to come up. I don't know if you need to close the service, or if we'll let the Pastor Allen close the service, and then if you feel you need prayer, then I'd ask for you to come up afterwards, and Tony and I will pray with you.
Are the boys going to be at the table outside?
That'll be good.
So, okay. Well, Trenton will. all right. Thank you guys for being here this morning. And we would love to pray with you about anything you have going on. Okay. God bless you guys. You have a great week.